The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, streaming radio 24/7. Today is the 2nd of December 2017. Like we do and we've been doing for 2 months now, stand up, or I know some people sit down, deep breath through the nose, out through the mouth. I am a winner. I am a champion. As everybody knows, we've done lots of shows already in the last couple months about these subjects. I do a lot of singular shows about what I am doing to myself about rewiring my brain. And we are the only species out there that can rewire your thoughts. And let me tell you, it's a daunting thing, and I'll tell you why. And I want to get moving here, but we're going to be doing shows on this and singular shows. I am doing so much research right now, not only with the feet to the brain, and as everybody knows, that has to do with the sand dune, and we'll get into that momentarily, but just the connections, the circuitry, how you can change things. And I'll tell you one thing that I have noticed already, your mind and your body and your subconscious and everything else does not want to get rid of those old habits. And those old habits, when you try to override them with new things like I'm talking about here, will fight you to the death. And you'll have stuff coming at you from years and years of negative thoughts. They'll be coming at you like machine gun fire. It's really, really critical stuff. And I can't wait to get into this more and more because of the influence it has. You know, we talk about weight training and stone lifting and sandbag lifting here. You would not believe how much your training will pick up once you start incorporating all these new thoughts in your subconscious mind. So more of that coming down the road. But remember, nobody came into the world a loser. Everybody came in here a winner and champion. It's up to you. Also, too, FiorelloBarbellCo.com, winner's circle. Best product out there for the price, I'm telling you. I just added a 14th module, which you'll see up there if it's not already on the page. You know, if you love dips, if you love pullovers, if you love all the old school stuff, high shrugs, stone lifting, sandbags, you name it, it's all on there. And it's not for the faint of heart, and you're not going to see a lot of this taught in today's world. But I don't live in today's world. I live here. In FBC land, and we do things hard and rugged, and we just keep building upon it. Because if you don't build from the inside out, you can't do it. It's not from the outside in, which the world will let you think it is. Also, contribute to both companies. The page is there on FiorelloBarbellCo.com. You have a $25, $50, and $100. Go out, look at it, contribute to the company. We could use your help because I'll tell you right now, we have helped a lot of people, and I appreciate anything you can do because right now we are at a tough, tough stage with everything. But as always, we never waver. We will always commit and win. Also, go out to motivationmuscle.com. And you can go out and see about our 850 shows. There's tons of material out there. There's not much you can't find. And as I said, we're going to have a lot of new surprises in 2018. So stay tuned. Also, sign up for our free newsletter on motivationmuscle.com. It'll go right to my, MailChimp account. That's the only place you'll get the newsletter and join in and join us. Well, today, you know my feeling on getting new people here. This is a gentleman I saw out on Facebook. Obviously, a lot of the gentlemen, Charlie, Martin, all these people, these great stone lifters, they're all connected. A lot of them are over in the UK, as we know. And today, I'm not going to say, we got a triple show today, and we have another stone lifter coming on at 2 o'clock. So it's going to be very interesting. I'll give you a name. Christopher Beadham is on then. Also, too, we got our great friend Douglas Graham on. So Mark Haydock is on with us today, and I'm going to just give you a little information about Mark as we're going to introduce him to the family. It's very exciting, too. I've gone out and read about this gentleman, and we're going to get into some of his philosophy about building into the stones with the movements he's doing, which I couldn't be happier to look at that stuff. But number one, rugby player, power lifter, and obviously a stone lifter. And I'm very excited because we're going to bring Mark in right now. We're going to introduce him to the family. Mark, welcome to the show, brother. It's an honor to have you on, sir.
Yeah, hi, Eric. Yeah, I'm really proud to be on the show. And, you know, it's going to be an interesting 45 minutes. And, let's get into it. Yeah,
okay. Well, is there anything you want to add? Do you have websites? Do you have anybody that promotes you? Anything like that?
I've got an Instagram account.
Okay, go ahead.
It's Haydock Mark, so it's pretty easy to find.
Okay, all right, that's easy. And obviously you're out on Facebook, we know that. That's where I contacted you from. You know, and people, you know, who listen to this show, we know, you know, we're constantly getting stuff. One thing I'll tell you, I don't know if you've put anything out, and if you have, I apologize. Our Etched in Stone page is incredible, and that has got not only stone lifters, it's got everything on there. If you haven't put stuff out there, Mark, you're more than welcome to. We have an Etched in Stone for kids that we're heavily into because we really want to promote the training, the mental end, the spiritual end of it, and we want these kids coming up, and especially if you have a son or daughter. We are going to be doing, I told you before we came on the air, we're going to be doing more and more of that next year. We did the show with Lawrence and Charlie. And Lawrence is fantastic. 7 years old, to hear him talk about the goals for next year. And he's a well-rounded young man. You know, he does every sport. But he was so excited, Charlie said, you know, he can't wait to get back on, and this is what we want to promote because the tale of obesity here and around the world is growing in volumes, and we got to stop this stuff, man, and I want this to be the platform. But this is the first question I ask everybody, Mark, because this comes from being a kid especially and still loving to be a kid. As a kid, you know, cartoons were big here, obviously, and two influences in my life, which will be my brother Jimmy, who died of muscular dystrophy, which basically walk, you end up falling, you're wheelchair bound, and eventually you do pass away. Nothing was wrong with Jimmy mentally, and obviously besides Jimmy, which both corporations are dedicated to, the Incredible Hulk. And I'll explain it briefly, and we'll get right into it with you. I remember the first time I saw a Hulk comic and started reading it. I just couldn't believe it because I'm coming from a point as a young boy watching your brother basically disintegrate in front of you. Now, you go to your mom and dad and you ask them the questions, could this happen to me? No, it can't. But you're a little afraid. Well, when I saw that Hulk comic, it changed my life forever because I said, if I can become as strong as the Hulk, nothing will ever touch me. And I've lived that philosophy forever because I watch Hulk cartoons still. I've seen every movie with the Hulk, whether I liked them or not. I still like the 2008 Ed Norton one the best. But there are things that influence us as little kids, younger kids, that want us to get into this physical culture we love so much. What got you into physical culture, Mark?
Well, it's funny you say the Hulk because I think that guy influenced everybody. I remember seeing the Hulk as a little kid, and more similar reasons, you just see it and think,
yep,
you know, that's the way to be. Being weak is no good to anybody, is it? You know, life's tough and you've got to be strong. So they're just like inspirational characters that you kind of draw motivation from. And even as a kid, I always knew, like even as young as at primary school, 8, 9, 10 years old, and you've got all your classmates, and you always want to be the strong. You always want to be strong, don't you? And be stronger than anybody, and because it just keeps you safe and protected. And
yeah, I agree. You know, it was interesting. Anything I write, anything I do on a singular show, I try to convey to everybody that strength is the most vital thing you'll ever have in your life. Now, you and I both know, you'll hear from people, well, I don't want to go lift a 400-pound stone, or I don't want to lift two Denny's that are over 700 pounds, or I don't want to go near the Inver. Why would I want to do that? That's not my point, all right? My point is, go lift whatever you want to lift.
Yeah, but something.
Yeah. But the whole thing is, it transcends into every facet of your life. You know, when we talk about the mental game, when we talk about, you know, you see so many people today that are spiritually, in my opinion, bankrupt. They go with the flow no matter what it is. They will not go against the tide. And then they wonder why they're living in the situations they live. And the thing I cannot impress upon everyone here more than ever, if you don't know how to do some things in the weight room, go find somebody. And I mean a real coach. I'm not talking about the Facebook girls and guys with their pants half down their ass, you know, with their boobs hanging out and only showing you the things that they do, that they complete, that looks good. I'll get right to you, Mark. I'm going to speak for myself here. I've shown my breakdowns out here where I've missed a lift, where, you know, I've picked up loaded kegs with water and sand and whipped them up so hard, it knocked me back where I'm lucky I didn't get killed over while the keg is in the air still coming down, all right? And you got to get out of the way or you'll get smashed with that. What I'm saying is, I believe anybody that's worth their salt is not going to be afraid to show you failures, because you'll never win without them. Go ahead, Mark. Take it away. Comment on any of that, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, we've got a really superficial world now where, like you say, it's who can reveal the most, who's got the best tan.
Yep. Yeah.
And there's no substance behind any of that stuff. I mean, we've got a community of people now that go to a gym for 6 months, and then the personal trainers. And,
yep.
It's all back to front, really, you know. And even when you've been doing stuff like, I mean, I've been training now literally 30 years since I was a little kid.
Sure.
And you're still learning. You're still changing routines, modifying routines, and adjust. And most of these, they're like kids, and they're like 20, 21, 22. Suntan, snap back, and they know everything, and they're charging people for training routines and diet advice, and then you've got all the drugs that's kicked in with it that just makes things worse. and yeah, it's quite sad, because I think a lot of people in our kind of community now at this side of the fence with the stone lifting, and we all tend to do our own thing. I mean, I train at home. I never go in a commercial gym. Never been in one.
Yep.
Don't want to go in one. You know, and you've got to be like strong mentally to drag yourself in the shed at 7 o'clock at night after a day at work when it's -3 and squat for an hour.
Yep.
You know, but all the time it's building. Like this physical strength, mental toughness, resilience.
Yep.
And then you kind of set the challenge, you know, next year I'm going to do whatever I'm going to do. And then you're chipping away at it for a year.
Yep. Yep.
You don't have to keep telling the world and check me suntan out and all the rest of it. And then, you know, it's a personal quest to deliver and achieve that goal then, you know.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you. My chiropractor, who we lost 3 years ago, John Ridge, and I'll mention him at the end of the show when we do the show credits, he used to call me Silent Strength. And one time he and his wife were away on a cruise. I still got the postcard. There's this big, huge tiger on the postcard as the cover. And he said, when I saw this postcard, it reminded me of you. He says, I call you all the time Silent Strength. Now, John and I had a father-son relationship. And I could say anything to John, and John could say anything to me, and we never walked away upset with each other. And I used to do everything I could to piss him off, just to see how far I could get him. But my point is here, when you said that, about you don't need to be out telling everybody what you're doing, it is far better to just be quiet and, you know, as my dad would say, lead by example. But I also believe, like with what you're doing, with what I do, with anybody associated with the show, once in a while, hey, here's what I'm doing, check it out. Because people, you know, their jaws drop because they're like, I don't see any of this stuff anywhere. Well, you're not going to see this stuff, not unless you go to like Andrew Carney's gym or Magnus's gym. You're not going to see this stuff anywhere else. You know where you're going to see it? You're going to see it in Mark's backyard, in my backyard, and guys that are doing everything they can to survive doing this stuff. And I will tell everybody, I'm going to send it back to you, Mark, because I got another question, is this. This is the stuff, no matter what happens in your life, you'll always have. And I'll tell you more than once, this stuff has saved my life, I think.
Yeah.
And it does.
Definitely.
Yeah. Because men especially now, I believe, don't have outlets like we used to. If you pay attention to what's going on in the world right now, it's frightening the way people are dealing with other people and all the ramifications of all this stuff you're hearing. I'm telling you right now, I was saying to a buddy of mine yesterday, Mark, and I can't wait to hear your response to this, and then we're going to get into another question, obviously. I said, right now, it wouldn't bother me to do a pilgrimage to somewhere where I lived in a log cabin. I wouldn't care if a couple buddies came or whatever, but and there's plenty of stones, and I cut myself off from the world for a year and live in a solitary time of just reading, getting better physically, mentally, and internally, spiritually, and then come back to the real world and see how I've changed and how it's changed me again. Because I think after a while, like especially I'm doing all this stuff with the brain circuitry, I'm changing more and more with everything every day. And I noticed that people that I used to have a lot in common with, I still love them and would speak with them and all that. I don't need to be around them anymore. Because I'm taking my mind and my body via not only the training and everything else, and I'm just growing like way out there with stuff. So comment on any of that, my friend.
Yeah, the thing with, like, you know, the weights and the training and the stone lifting, it's always there.
Yep.
And it never lets you down.
Nope.
You know, it never lets you down, and you no matter what goes on, you can always find an hour to go and beat the crap out of yourself.
Yep.
You know, and the thing is, you can get rid of so much aggression and stress and just get it out, you know, and burn the energy off and get rid of that bad stuff, if you will.
Yeah.
But then if things are running smooth and you're in a good place, then it's even better because you just, you know, everything's great and you can go and really enjoy it, and you know, and then you get all those extra positive endorphins, you know, from the training, and I just see it as a good thing all the time.
Oh yeah, without a doubt.
And I've never ever, I would say in 25 years, I've never had more than 2 weeks off the gym, off any kind of training.
Wow, that's awesome.
And that's with torn bicep tendons, snapped Achilles heels, kids being born, moving out.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, that's called dedication, my friend, and that's behavior that is so positive, there's no way it's not going to ring better things for you in your life.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, you know, because I want to get into a lot of other things, too. We know that you were, as a younger man, you were a rugby player, and you got into the powerlifting via an older gentleman that had been around. And from what I read, you know, you got very tired of powerlifting per se, and you started getting into the stone lifting. So just take us through a little bit of geography with that, what you did, where it led to the stones. And then let's talk about, you know, I was very impressed about, because you sound like a guy like me and a lot of them, you know, Well, what were the movements you thought that really affected the Stones? Well, the squatting and the deadlifting. But what I love about you with the deadlifting, especially, you know, now you're talking about going into a deadlifting meet. And I want to get into all that. So take us through the lineage of the rugby to the power lifter to the stone lifter and the movements that you really deem important. And just take it away, my friend.
Well, I played rugby at school. We actually got to a national cup final, which we played at Twickenham at the National Stadium.
Okay.
But we did lose that match. We shouldn't have really lost it, but a few players started to change things up a bit and try and get glory and do things out of position. You know what I mean?
Yeah, oh yeah.
And the game kind of crumbled around us and it was a bit frustrating. Because I was playing in the forwards where you've got to do a lot of the donkey work and keep turning the ball over and get it, and the backs kept screwing it up. I continued to play for a year or two after that, but I was always disillusioned because I realised that the trouble with a team game, when you're winning, things are great.
Yeah.
But if you lose, if you give 110% and lose, it's a bit hard to swallow sometimes. And I was keen on the weight training, but then the weight training kind of took over because I realised that in an individual sport, like the powerlifting, you live by the sword and you die by the sword.
Agreed.
And if you're willing to put everything on the line, then you have a good chance of being successful, and you've nobody else to blame. You just get the job done, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I had a good few years at powerlifting. I went to an IPF World Juniors. Then I joined the BDFPA, which is affiliated to the WDFPA.
Mm-hmm.
I won a few world titles with that. But then I just got a bit jaded with the weighing in at 6 o'clock in the morning and like deadlifting at 1 o'clock in the morning the day after. And,
yeah.
You know,
yep.
It just became a bit of a money making event where you get promoters just taking entry fees and filling up the books. And then they'd have 16 flights of lifters and we were always in at the end because we were in the heavy section. So then I joined the Iowa, the All Round Weightlifting Association.
Yep.
The Iowa UK is the British leg of it, but there's Iowa USA,
mm-hmm.
which is the USAWA, which is a great federation, a great bunch of people. We've got all the old-time lifts, one-arm
yep.
snatches, one-arm deadlifts, dumbbells, push presses, deadlifts, hack lifts, all the thick bar lifts, two-inch bars and axles. And I'm still a member of that association, and I still lift. We just had the Gold Cup in Scotland last month.
Okay.
Which I lifted just coming off the back of the Achilles injury, but you know I turned up and lifted anyway.
Yep.
That is really what's led me into the Stones, because with the all-round weightlifting, you do meet a lot more. Rather than just being around powerlifters, you're meeting people with all kinds of different backgrounds.
Yep.
And then I was drawn into this thing called the Dinny Stones.
yep.
And one of the lifters in the Iowa, he'd had a couple of years training for the Dinnies, and I think he did go up and lift them once or twice. And he had a set of the David Horn's replica rings.
Yep. I got them.
Yeah, I've got a set now. And he lent me these Dinny rings. You know, he said, have a go with them. And I was like, well, what are the weight of the Stones? And he told me.
Yep.
And then the following training session, I had to have a go. And I actually loaded them to 190 and 150.
Yep.
They were just easier to load to that than messing around with bits and pieces. And I picked them up.
Wow.
So I thought, hey, these Dinnies might be all right. They might.
Yeah.
And then obviously we went up in 2012.
Okay.
And unintentionally, I did get in a little bit of trouble because I lifted them 25 times.
Wow!
But I didn't do it with bad intention, and I never did it to piss anybody off.
Yeah.
Or, you know,
yep.
I was just excited, and you get a bit carried away.
Yep.
Yeah, I made 25 lifts side by side as well, no straddle.
Wow.
Wow. And I actually walked them about 3 feet.
Did you? Awesome. Yeah, awesome.
Without any intention or training, we were just, some of the American guys were there and we were chatting about this, did he walk and
yep.
all that.
Yep.
Then the year after, I was part of Francis Brebner's World Stone Challenge.
Okay.
Which didn't quite go as I was expected based on what he'd said he was going to do. And it became a bit of a misnomer, that, to be honest.
Okay.
And then, obviously, in August this year, we were back up for the gathering.
Exactly.
Where I did get him across the bridge doing the lift and drop method.
Wow.
But unfortunately, the backstone hit my right Achilles three quarters of the way across and snapped it.
Yep. Yep.
So the last 4 or 5 feet were quite a challenge, but
yeah.
you've got to hang in there, haven't you, and take the pain. So the last 4 feet, 4 or 5 feet, was done with one leg, really.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, me right leg. If you see the video, the right leg is literally out there like a prop.
Yeah. Do you, Mark, I want to ask you before we go on. Do you have a YouTube channel, or do you have that's out on YouTube? Because I'd like to.
It's on my Instagram.
Okay.
Which is Hay.Mark.
Okay.
And I believe it's been put on Facebook. I think it might even be on my Facebook page as well. But
okay, I'll look because I'd like to put that out on Etched in Stone too today or tonight.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So obviously you got the injury. Now you have to go in and have it surgically repaired. They do that. How long is it before you get back?
I'm back. I didn't have surgery.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, okay.
No, I had to tune into the Hulk powers. And
I love it.
I didn't even go to hospital for 3 days because we were on holiday in Scotland, so I was driving a camper van, a mobile home. That was a bit painful, but I went to the hospital and they diagnosed that it was a full rupture.
Yep.
Which wasn't good. And they put me in a boot,
one of
these prosthetic boots.
Yep.
While they decided on surgery.
Yep.
They actually don't like doing surgery now because you can get all kinds of complications.
That is correct.
Scar.
Yep.
Because there's not a great deal of flesh down there, and the scar can be the big problem at the end. And a week after having the boot on, they sent me back for another scan, and it had already started to reattach.
Oh, wow.
So I had another 7 weeks in the boot.
Yep.
And I continued to train, mainly upper body stuff. But
yep.
I'm a big believer of when you've got any injuries,
yep.
any training is good because you're getting blood flow around the body.
I agree. And yep.
Blood flow heals everything.
Yep. And you know what? Not only that, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but think about what you're going through mentally with stuff. Because I remember when I tore my bicep in Iceland, I was like, you know what? I asked, and I mean, most people have done the same thing. I didn't even care if my arm was falling off me. I asked the doctor, am I ever going to lift again?
Question.
And you know what, Mark? I think what it was just the shock of the whole thing, man. It was like, no way this just happened. But go ahead. Yeah. Continue, my friend. Go ahead.
So I did continue to train, mainly upper body.
Yep.
But then as I got used to this boot, I think 4 or 5 weeks in with the boot on,
yep.
I blocked up the other foot so that my feet were level. And I actually stood up with 3 or 5 in a trap bar.
Unbelievable, man. God, yeah. That's awesome. Oh, my God.
It wasn't off the floor. It was like about 16-inch, 18-inch, like a half rep.
Still, yeah.
Just mental toughness because you've got to believe that you're healing and keep. And as long as you go in set, I didn't go stupid, as long as you're sensible.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got, you can sit in a chair and feel sorry for yourself. That won't heal anything, will it? You've got to attack the problem and,
yeah.
Set a goal, set a target.
Yeah, and what that will do if you're going to take that type of attitude is that's going to just sink you right into the hole for good.
Yeah, we've got to pull yourself out.
Yeah, exactly. And that's one thing, Mark, we don't get a lot anymore in the world. You know?
No, people are quite fragile nowadays.
Yeah, yeah. They want you to lay down, and most people lay down, and that's where I think you and I and many of the others here, we have a big separation in that. But go ahead, I didn't mean to keep popping in.
No, you're okay. But yeah, anyway, so 3 months to the day after snapping it, we were back up at the Dinnies.
Unreal.
Yeah, I picked them up.
You know something? You got to feel inside. I mean, I'm talking from listening to you. And obviously, like yourself and many of the other folks here, we've had a lot of triumphs and as much, if not more, failures. But to think that 3 months to the day you went and did the Denny's, I mean, I'm not going to speak for you. I'll ask you the question. I'm talking from me. To me, that would have been the biggest triumph of my lifting career. But go ahead. Tell us what that meant to you, and was it the biggest triumph you feel you ever had?
Yeah, well, the thing is, I knew I could do it.
Yeah.
I have this strange thing with the Dinnies, and I can't really explain it. Because the first time I ever tried on the Dinny rings,
yep,
I went slightly over Dinny weight the first time I tried. In training on my Dinny rings, I have never failed anything at Dinny weight ever.
Wow.
And while we've been up to the Dinnies, I mean, I've been up there now 3 times, I have never, ever made an attempt and not lifted them. You know, like sometimes your grip might slip and then you
sure,
grip and
sure,
again.
Sure, sure.
Whenever I'm stood over the Dinnies, it's a peculiar thing. And I don't want to say this to make it sound disrespectful, or people that have trained for years and struggled and then they do, you know, they maybe miss them and then they go back the year after and then they lift them.
Yeah.
I genuinely have this feeling that they don't feel heavy. Now, whether it's a psychological thing.
Yep.
Because if you put that weight on a bar,
yeah,
even in the rack at the same height, it always feels like it is 333.
Yeah. Yep.
When I grab the Dinnies at the same height as you may set a bar, don't feel like that way. And now, whether it's a psychological thing and you're out, you know, and it's like a familiarity thing, whereas on a barbell, you know exactly what that weight.
Sure.
If we hit a lump of stone, it becomes a bit more of an animalistic thing, whereas it's just man against rock. And
yep.
So I knew I could pick them up, even with the injury, and I just knew I'd lift them.
That's awesome.
And I actually shuffled them. I walked them about 1 or 2 feet, anyway. There's a video of it on my Instagram. But, yeah, I just shuffled about 18 inches, 2 feet forwards with them.
Jeez, I tell you, that's incredible.
Next year's gathering, which I believe is on again.
Yep.
The mission now is to walk them across the bridge side by side.
Well, I'll tell you, you'll be the first in a long time. That's for sure.
That's the mission today, because the straddle lift.
Yep.
You know, I got him across there, but you know, at what price? I snapped the tendon.
Yep.
And I didn't snap it through like lifting and exerting. It was like a freak accident.
Right.
You know, the rock hit the tendon when it was braced and just pinged it.
Yep.
So yeah, it'd be nice to do it side by side.
That'd be a hell of a lift, let me tell
and
you.
And I know 3 years ago on my replica rings, I did 11 feet with Dinny weight without any strap. You know, I'd never use lifting straps.
Right.
And that was side by side. So I know there's another 6 feet to go, but I do believe I can do it. You know, and that's half the battle, I think.
Well, there's one thing that people will get from this show, among many, is you brim with confidence. And if you're not going to be confident and believe in yourself, you're never going to be able to do anything, let alone the Dinnies. All right. Well, I mean, I know we got a little bit of time left, but I want to talk about, too, because, you know, I want to get you back here. There's so many other things I want to talk to you about. But, you know, when you made the statement about the squats and the deadlifts especially, mm-hmm, it really was very interesting because, you know, as I said, with Stevie and Charlie and Martin, they've all got different philosophies. But tell me, what is it about the squat and the deadlift you feel that really brings you up to snuff when you go to lift these magnificent stones, whether in training or going, you know, to the actual place to lift the Dinny stones?
Well, squats for me are just, they are the king, you know.
Yeah.
The bar is physically on you for a start. So when you're down in the hole, if something goes wrong, well, you can't afford it to go wrong. So you've got to have that mental toughness.
Yep.
And you know yourself, when you're at the top of a squat and you, you know, you make that decision to unlock your knees and you're going, you've got to commit to the lift because you've got to come back up with this bar because it's on you, it's across your back.
Yep.
If you go on the high rep squats, that's mental toughness beyond all, you know.
Yeah.
All of the challenges. You're giving the lungs a tremendous workout. You start going 10s, 15s, 20s. And then it gives you that all-important leg power and hip power.
And, you know, and as you were saying, a lot of blood flow when you're running 20 rep squats. There's no doubt about it. Yep, yep.
Yeah, and I mean, it's been proven that you get an increased release of natural testosterone.
Absolutely.
You know, heavy squats, it's a fact. You know, and that's why all the drug-free guys in the past, they all squatted.
Well, you remember, do you remember reading, I still got some somewhere, all the old strength and health articles, two of the movements that they did, which worked incredibly, because we know if you're doing three breaths between each breathing squat, the rib cage is expanding like crazy. But the other movement, well, there was two other movements, but it wasn't as popular, I don't think, who brought that, but I'll get that to a second. You went from the breathing squat right to the pullover. Now, that could be a bent arm pullover. A lot of the guys laid on their back and did straight arm pullovers, but a straight arm is something that is not made to do a lot of weight with. I don't think any of them are. It's more of a breathing, and man, the dividends were insane. Now, J.C. Heiss, who was just an incredible, incredible lifter, who came up with a Heiss shrug, That's another movement that I've incorporated in with those two. But that's neither here nor there. I mean, just some incredible stuff. So, obviously, you're running, what, like more of a five sets of five or 10, 15, 20? What are you doing, like, in rep ranges usually?
I mix it up quite a bit.
Okay.
When I was powerlifting, I used to do a lot of 5.5s.
Yep.
The best ever 5.5s was 250
kilo,
5.5 beltless.
Yep, that's unreal.
And that built me up to a 300 single squat with only a belt. You know, but it's hard work.
Yep.
At the minute, having had the Achilles rip, I'm working on just sets of 10.
So
Monday night, I'll work up to 180 for 10 beltless.
Yep.
You know. Only a couple of minutes rest between sets, you know, just keep pumping them out. And one of the squat routines I did on the run-up to the Dinnies was I was squatting twice a week. One was, you know, heavy sets of 8.
Yep.
And the other session was one continuous set. So I put 60 kilo on the bar.
Yep.
Do a single. And then the time it takes me to increase the weight to 80, and then I'll go and do another single.
Yep.
Then increase to 100, do another single, increase to 120. And I actually, my top week was 60 to 240.
Wow.
In 20 kilo jumps.
Yep. And
the only rest was loading the bar type thing.
And you know what you're doing by that too? You're not overloading your system so hard that you can't complete. You know, I say to people, I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but he's I wish I could get him on here, and we're going to do everything we can to do it, but he writes a lot of articles, is John McKean. He used to write for Hard Gainer in the 90s. Yeah. Okay. John's a good friend of ours here. I love John. He is just awesome. And right now we're doing a lot of dead stop start power rack training, and we're doing these things I call mashing middies, where obviously is everything starting from the rods, holding isometrics against the other rods. Now, I've trained the power rack like a maniac for years, and the dividends are incredible with it.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, Mark. I've never trained the midpoint the way I have in the last 4.5 weeks now. There's no leverage to get this stuff going. And then especially when you're adding and, you know, having to pull it up against another set of rods for a hold. Now, I've told people some of the stuff I've been doing, And I said, I've had to drop my weights and some things over 200 pounds. And they're like, what good is that? I said, if you could see right now what's starting to morph with my body, it's unbelievable. I've never had a set of lower rhomboids as thick as they are right now in 4.5 weeks. Now, I love what you do, and especially, you know, I love to go out, you know, if you need a week to get away from that stuff because it's so concentrated, you go out and you squat, you know, maybe do a set of 15 breathing, run right over, do your pullovers, and I'm done at that point, all right? Because the idea here is I want to recover my nervous system big time to get ready to go in the following week to do it. And that's what it is. And when you talk about going, say, 20 pounds, 40 pounds per set, people don't realize this. They all think they've got to put, you know, another set of 45s on or a set of, you know, a set of 25 kilos on. And what happens most of the time? You're going to fail. And you're going to destroy your system. And that is not the way to get stronger. And that is awesome. But I want to get in it because I know we've got about 5 or 10 minutes left. Let's get into the deadlift because this is when I was reading about you. I found it very, very, fascinating to say the least because as I told you before we came on, you know, I always ask the guys, is there one movement you think that affects stone lifting totally? And we know you've got a couple and I'm sure there's other things you do, but you know, like Stevie Shank said, one arm deadlifts, okay, with a dumbbell. Beautiful. All right. Yeah. What is it about the deadlift you think that commands the stones like that?
Well, the deadlift is everything because you're breaking weight off the floor.
Yep.
And stones are always on the floor when you've got to pick them up.
Correct.
Because you're holding the bar, unlike the squat where the squat's sat across your shoulders, with the deadlift you're holding the bar, so you're getting plenty of grip work, hand strength, you know, forearms are worked. And again, it's a bit like the squat. So many people miss the deadlift in the first second because they don't put the gas on and keep the gas on.
Right.
And they let it go, you know, they give up, they fold. Whereas you know yourself, when you go for a big, big deadlift,
yep,
you've got to put the hammer down and nothing happens for a second and then it starts to break.
Yep.
And you've got to keep the hammer down and get it to your knees and then you have a chance of finishing it. And most people haven't got that fight. They just, the bar will kind of stretch and then they just let go and go, ooh, not
yeah,
today.
That's it. Exactly.
Now, if you train properly with that effort and drive, when you then go to a rock, oof, you know, let's face it, if you're pulling 600-700-pound deadlifts,
yep,
a 200-pound, 250-pound rock to the knee is going to be done. That's the easy bit, you know. Once you get it on your knees, it's them, you know, front squats to get it up type of thing. And so I think the deadlifts give you that massive start on any rock.
Now I read, and I don't know if – now, do you squat and deadlift together or do you split them off on different days with other things you're doing auxiliary-wise, obviously stone lifting?
I mix and match, to be honest.
Okay.
I go against convention with a lot of my training.
Okay.
I do a variation of a deadlift every time I train.
You do? Okay. All right.
Yeah. Now, most people say, well, these gurus, you know, the Instagram gurus, they only deadlift once every 3 weeks.
Yeah.
But I do a hell of a lot in the trap bar.
Yeah.
The trap bar is the greatest thing that's ever been invented because you can actually work so heavy and protect your lower back.
Yep, and go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
You're getting so much work in the grip, in the hands,
yep,
the quads. You're hammering everything, but you're just protecting that weak spot, which is always the lower back. It's always the first thing to go and tire and cramp.
And I'll tell you one other thing. If anybody doesn't know this, you get a bicep tear, or you want to keep your biceps real strong and healthy, stay with the supination of a trap bar.
Yeah. Well, I pull everything double overhand hook now.
So now, are you primarily your deadlifts right now is with a trap bar?
I train it with a trap bar, but for example, last weekend we got invited up to a local CrossFit competition.
Okay.
And they ran it as a ladder event, so we deadlifted on a ladder.
Yep.
And I went from 80 to 290 in 10 kilo jumps.
Wow.
And we'd only got a minute between lifts.
Wow.
Now, at the beginning, it was boring. The 80 was like a long minute, and the 90 was a long minute, and the 100 was... But when we got to 220, 230, 240, 250, then the minutes kept coming around quite quick.
Yeah, started testing you. Besides the floor with the trap bar, I mean, we know I own one. They have the longer ones that fit in the power rack. Do you do a lot of power rack training with the trap bar at all different heights or not? Or is it all...
Okay. I have some... stands that I fabric because I fabricate a lot of my own equipment.
So nice.
I've got some floor stands that I fabricated just for the trap bar.
Okay.
So I can leave the squat set up and I have the trap bar set up so I can super, because I do a lot of superset training.
Yep.
With training on my own, it gets a bit dull, so I'll set up, say, trap bar deadlift with a 2-inch axle clean and press.
Nice.
And I might do, for example, I could set the trap bar at, say, 16-inch and put 330 and set the axle at 90 or 95 kilo.
Yep.
And I'll pull a single on the trap bar and then jump over and do a single on the axle.
So you're cleaning and pressing the axle every time?
Yeah. And
that's
I'll
awesome.
I'll take, say, a minute. And so every minute I'll do a 330 single and a 90 overhead.
Wow.
Set the timer a minute and 30 seconds, and then go again. And that I might do 9 rounds of that, for example.
I don't know if people realize the amount of weight you're putting, cleaning and pressing overhead on a 2-inch axle. That's the incredible thing about, look at anybody that's putting that amount of weight over their head is incredible to begin with, because we don't see overhead much in today's world. It's mostly bench pressing, all right? But when you add in a 2-inch Apollon axle, we'll call it, for anybody that's never used one, go and look. There's no way the bar rotates.
Yeah.
I mean, you gotta have hands and wrists of iron just to turn that over. Because if you don't, you'll probably snap your wrist right off you. So that's incredible stuff. Let me ask you this too. Besides the trap bar, do you do, like we do here, 2 and 3 inch, obviously, axles. And one of the things we've built here, which I love, we do the old school, hand thigh deadlift, where we took 255-gallon drums, put everything, built them all through, so we slipped the axle through, and obviously we know you can lift some enormous amounts of weight. But the thing I try to tell people is, when you throw the plates inside those 55-gallon drums, be ready for anything, because there is nothing. Well, it's good. I tell people, and they're like, "What?" I was like, those things, they've walked me to the left and to the right when I've lifted them. And they're like, no way. I was like, well, there's no balance there. You know, you're not getting a balanced barbell where it's all lined up and ready to go. I've got plates overlapping and falling to the sides. That's the idea of it. So do you get into a lot of the axle work with the deadlift, or is that something you do once in a while, or what?
Sometimes. I mean, we're running a grip competition in February.
Oh, cool.
We run it every year. It's one of the Iowa competitions.
Okay.
And this year we've got 2-inch axle clean and strict press.
Wow.
Then we've got a pair of 2-inch vertical rods to be deadlifted.
Yep. You
know, just vertical rods loaded up. And then the last lift is a 2-inch axle straddle deadlift.
Oh, shit, man. That's awesome.
That's the three lifts.
Those are called man makers, those boys. Let me tell you. Let me ask you this, Mark. I know we're at time just about. How many days a week are you hitting stuff? Besides lifting the Denny's, obviously, you know, working with the stuff, the deadlift, the squat. Is there anything else much you're adding in on it? And how many days a week are you hammering away on yourself?
I'm generally doing Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Okay.
Which is on the squats and the trap bar and the 2-inch bar stuff.
Yep.
And then either Saturdays or Sundays, we do the Dinny stuff outside.
Okay, gotcha.
So tomorrow we'll be outside with the Dinnies.
Yeah, I'll be out there too tomorrow, not with the Dinnies, but I'll be, yeah. And I want to ask you this, because I know we're just about there, and I could talk to you for another hour, believe me.
Yeah, it's been good fun, yeah.
Here's the thing. because everybody's always asking grip, and we know you got to have a monster grip with those rings because they feel like they're ripping right through your fingers, literally. Thick bars, what do you feel? Is it what you're doing in training? Do you use specificity with something for your grip, your wrists, all that? Or do you feel the combination of the deadlift, squeezing the life out of that and pulling it and using, obviously, the oversized axles? Is that more than enough to build your grip, or do you need more specificity, you feel?
Yeah, it's a strange one. In all honesty, I've only started to really focus on grip training for the last 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
And when I first lifted the Dinnies,
yep,
that grip was literally just what I built with deadlifts.
Okay.
I've never, ever, ever worn lifting straps.
Yep.
No point. Why would you want to wear straps to...
No, you don't.
And then all the guys that wear straps always say they have a weak grip, you know. I mean,
yep.
I don't know how they're going to work it out. But I think I've always had a good grip, which helps.
Yep.
The key thing is don't wear lifting straps. The only time I would put lifting straps on is if I'd literally got a huge blister across my hand and I was going to train. Mm-hmm. Then you might put a lifting strap on just so you can carry on and work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the 2-inch stuff helps. I mean,
yeah, I think so
like
too.
Anything. If you can pick something up on a thick bar,
yeah.
When you get hold of a thinner bar, you know, it's locked on. It feels so much more comfortable.
When you when you go to lift the Dinnies, are you tucking your thumb underneath your fingers?
Generally, I hook. Yeah. But I've picked them up open handed.
Wow, that's awesome, man.
It's a different ball game. They're a lot heavier when you don't hook. It's a heavy lift then. But if I hook up, yeah, they're just locked on. They feel solid.
Yeah, well, everybody, most people, I do the hook grip too. But I've done them kind of heavy without. I don't know, you know, when I go back for the Husafell Stone, I'm not going to be turning it to the side or any of this other stuff. I know people that I know have gone and done it that way, being that we built those steel stones here, and it's mm-hmm. as close to the shape of the actual Husafell. I'm lifting it the way it's built, where basically, you know, it's wide, keeps coming down, tapers to the bottom.
Yeah.
Because there's no point of going there and trying it any other way. I feel if I can't lift it the way I've trained it, then I don't deserve to lift it. And everyone's like, well, you know, you can get your hand holds different and all that. And that's why I said about the grip with you. I don't care. Once you've got a set of, once you got fingers like darts and wrists and the forearms to squeeze it, there's no reason why you can't pick that thing up and get around 50 meters with it. That's all.
Yeah, I think that's it. If you can lock the grip on, you're locked, aren't you? And then it's what the lungs will handle, isn't it? I think the lungs will give up.
Without a doubt. One of the reasons why I'll do close grip bench presses, and I don't do them off a bench, I do them in a floor press in the power rack with a dead start with everything, is because when that stone's super heavy and laying on your chest, I want to have that middle as built out as much as I can. Because you and I both know, as a stone gets heavier, it gets hard to breathe. So, you know, you really want to have that capacity to go. If there was one grip movement you'd tell our family to use to go after these stones and be able to grab them and hold them up and stand there with them, what do you feel right now in your repertoire is your best grip movement?
I think the thing that will really, really benefit people is if you use a trap bar.
Yep.
But obviously without hooking, you don't need to hook because the sleeves aren't live. Heavy holds on the trap bar.
I agree. I mean, definitely.
Last year on the run up to the gathering, I did a set of 10 lifts from 16 inches with 350.
Whoa.
And I did 2 10-second holds with 372.
Yeah, so for anybody that doesn't know what that is in kilos, I mean, we're talking way up in the high sevens. That's no joke.
Yeah,
I mean,
350 is 770.
Right, 770, yep.
Yeah, 365 is 803. So
yep.
The 372 was like 820.
Yeah, and I mean, think about that. Now, Mark, before we go, how big of a man are you?
At the minute, well, I'm about 5'11".
Yep.
Body weight at the minute is just under 110 kilos.
So that's about, what, 242 maybe?
Yeah, but I'd say at the minute I'm probably about 235.
Now think about that, folks. Everybody always thinks you got to weigh 350 to lift stuff like that up. This guy is the shining example of not only strength personified, but the persistence. It's incredible. Mark, I want to get you on in, obviously, January, February. I mean, you talk about an interesting interview and so much more to talk about. Go out and anything you want to add, summarize anything you want, anything you want to put out there. I know you said you've got something going on in February at the house. Put all that out. I'll put out my information. Just hang on the line, and we will finish up today, please.
Cool. Well, first off, thanks for having me on, Eric. It's been a great hour. It's been good fun.
Yes, sir.
If you'll have me back, I'll gladly come on and chat again.
Yes, sir.
I've got an Instagram page, which I've only had running for a few months. That's called Hey Doc Mark. If anyone wants to have a look at it and, you know, share videos, share ideas, that'd be good fun. We've got the Iowa British Grip in February, which it's international lifters can come across for it if they want to. You know, there's no problem with that. But generally, it's just, you know, the lads from the UK.
Yep.
At the minute, the push for next year is really all about getting them dinnies across the bridge side by side. That's my big push now. But I have had dreams of going to Iceland and having to go to that Huisfeld stone. So you'll have to keep me posted if you've any plans. That might be worth considering.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tomorrow we're going to be on dinny training again. So I may put an odd video on if we... The other thing I'd like to add, just for anybody out there, is we did the first dinny walk 2 weeks ago, on this rebuild, as I call it, for next year. And we actually started with 50% of dinny weight. That's all.
Wow.
And we marked out 18 feet because it's 17 feet over the bridge. So I marked out an 18-foot course and we did 6 walks side by side with the rings, but only at 50%.
Yep.
But the trick is we walk them like you'd walk the heavyweight, only small steps. Don't let that ring turn across the front of your leg because the big stone just wants to come across your leg and stop you moving it. The plan is, just like any other aspect of training, we've got a good 8 or 9 months now to just keep increasing that weight and keep doing 6 walks every weekend. And hopefully in 9 months' time, we're going to be up around dinny weight, you know. But during the week when we're training on the trap bar and that, we're obviously pushing up round dinny weights and above to keep the nervous system and the skeletal system used to the poundage.
But sure.
On the specific training, we're just building slowly, you know, and working on just ironing out technique, because to get those dinnies over the bridge in one go side by side, it's going to rip your hands to bits. It's going to pull your lungs out your chest.
Yep.
You know, and it's just a case of practicing and building up resistance to it. So that's where we're up to.
That's some awesome stuff. I'll tell you one thing. I'd love to talk to you next time about, and I want to get into this more, is a lot of people seem to systematically drop their weight for a while, and I think that does a lot of detriment to you, because if you're used to running at a very high level, and I know that we have to back off. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is people drop their weight extremely much lower, and if you train like that for a long time, it's very hard to get your system relearned to this, I believe. And I think that, you know, that's something I want to get into, because no one I ever hear talks about stuff like that, because if you go at that for a long time, my belief is you can ruin your system the way everything works. I mean, you know, everybody's like, well, back off, you know, you don't want to burn this out, that out. I got it. But I think you can also go the opposite way. And not only that, you know, you talked about confidence. And obviously, anybody who hears this show in the next day is going to realize you're brimming with confidence. When you're not getting under heavy things or over heavy things, when you've been used to doing that for decades,
you're gonna doubt yourself. It'll
destroy you, I think. You know, the body gets in patterns. This is what I don't think a lot of people understand. You fix yourself in patterns, just like you do mentally. And when you no longer do that, or you back away from it for whatever reason it is, I don't know. I've seen people I know, they never come back again because,
It's too far to get back.
It's too far,
If you built something the hard way, you know how hard it was to get up there.
Yep.
Now, if you let it all go,
yep.
Do you want to go through hell again to get back?
I don't know if you can. Yeah, I agree.
You may as well stay with it and don't lose it, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
Stay close to it.
Definitely. Mark, is there anything else you want to say?
No, that's pretty much it, really. I'm really glad that I've been welcomed into the family.
Absolutely. You know? We're glad to have you. Just hang on. I'm going to give all my stuff out. This is Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. Remember, you're all winners and champions. Go out after whatever you want. And remember this too. We've been talking about books that I've been reading over and over and over again. Well, you know what you got to look at too? Here's another one. The Ultimate Man Survival Guide, Recovering the Lost Art of Manhood, Frank Miniter, is one that I've been really hitting. Also too, Tough Times Never Last, But Tough People Do, Robert H. Schuller. What It Takes to Be Number One, Vince Lombardi, written by Vince Lombardi Jr. And we're in the process. We want to get Vince Lombardi Jr. on M&M because I feel his father was so ahead of the curve. Whether he'd survive in today's NFL, no way. The guy had standards and was too much of a man's man. And also, two people that have been so instrumental in not only my success with the power rack, but I look to them as like, I am so blessed to have them around, even though we lost Anthony. A big shout to our pal John McKean, who was one of the big, big people in my life and still is with the power rack, among other developments and training. And of course, the great Anthony DiTillo, the development of muscular bulk and power. Also, too, as I said, go out to Fiorella Barbell Co. Go out and look at the Winner's Circle. I mean, what you heard us talk today is what the Winner's Circle is. I mean, you might not have a ton of video, but I'll tell you one thing. I think video is great. But if you're not going to be a thinker and go out and learn this stuff first, video is going to kill you, literally, because there's too many people that think they can go out and be weekend warriors or whatever and do the stuff we're talking about, and we don't want to see you get hurt. That's the whole thing. There's no reason to do some type of damage to yourself because you haven't thought it out or learned it. So go out and look at that. Also, contribute to the companies. You know that's all out there. Also, too, the Sand Dune, 714-995-4500, our buddy Matt Dahl. He is the owner and creator of the Sand Dune. What an incredible piece of equipment. If you go out and read my blog from yesterday, it talks about some of the movements I'm doing with the Sand Dune and the neck work and the Sand Dune and the old school York iron boots I do on off days. Pretty incredible stuff. I would tell you, get a hold of Matt. Tell him you listen to M&M. You get 10% off the product and free shipping in the United States. So look at that. Also, go out to motivationmuscle.com. /category/podcast. There's 850 shows out there. This time of year, especially during the Christmas season and you got time off, go out and look at it. I swear it's like cotton candy in your mouth. It's so damn good. Look at that. Also, go out to motivationmuscle.com homepage and join for our newsletter. It goes to my MailChimp account. That's the only place you can sign up. Be part of the family. It's a great thing. Also, too, iTunes and Stitcher, give us a 5-star review. That's what we've gotten. We appreciate that from everybody. AHA Directory, pronounced AHA. You get Motivation Muscle in your car 24/7. If there's a show you'd like Mark and I to do, Fiorella Barbell at NICAP.R.com. If someone seeks you in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give 5 words of inspiration, because what you say to people matters. and it can be a positive or negative. And that's all we talked about here was positive. I mean, I'm buzzing right now from talking about this stuff. This stuff lights me on fire. I don't know about everybody else out there, but I know the comments I get about stones and people buying them and building them. And they've told us how much this show has got them fired up into things they never even thought of. And that's a great thing, folks. Also, too, as my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile for that day. That might be all they get. If you're going to lift it, bend it, break it, twist it, squat it, pull it, press it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And as a great Hoosa Steel stone crusher says in Blood Red Domination, we're domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's. Dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. No one will ever clip our balls. And as Russell Fur says, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. There's more on the way, my friend. Lots more. Also, Frank Klein, my greatest college business professor. Repetition, repetition, repetition. My dad, be a leader, not a follower. Be a leader, not a follower. And, of course, John Ridge, my chiropractor for many years, who we lost to cancer 3 years ago this year, he would walk every patient in the door and say, keep smiling. I dare you say that to yourself on your best or worst day and not smile. You would have enjoyed my dad and Frank and, obviously, John. I wish they could be here to talk to everyone. I mean, you talk about inspiring men that were real men, that didn't make excuses, worked very hard, took care of their families, and thank God for those men in my life because I wouldn't be the man I am right now without them, and I owe them a great debt, believe me, and I give gratitude to them and many others every day. Also, too, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. Tell 100 or more of your friends we're coming because we are not going to put our foot through your door. We'll blow the roof right off your house. Be part of the family. Be with us for the next 30 years. I promise you it'll be the best 30 years of your life. The great Les Brown said, you all have greatness in you, but we take it two steps further. We believe in you, and we got your back. As we say on every show, men, women, get in shape. Take care of one another. Take care of your boyfriends and girlfriends, your children. Be a part of us because we need you as much as you need us. And I mean that. And that's very, very important. Mark, I got to tell you, not only was it an honor to have you on and listen to you, how much you love what we love here so much, but the way you carry on with it and you lead by example, it's been an honor of mine to have you on. And I got to tell you, it is one hell of a show we just did. I am so mentally and physically charged right now. I can't tell you how good it feels, let me tell you. So thank you for being on the show, my friend.
Brilliant. No, it's been great fun. It's been great fun. And like I say, I'm just really pleased that you invited me on, and hopefully we can do it again sometime.
Oh, we will. We'll be doing something in 2018, believe me, because men of character, women of character as yourself, that's all we want here. We want people that want to be on here, that when they say they're going to be here, other than there's an emergency, which I fully understand, you show up, you're ready to go. And as you said, you had never done anything like this on Skype, and I feel already it's a masterpiece, and I look forward to many more years working with you, my friend.
Excellent. Yeah, excellent. Really good. I mean, just one thing I wanted to add is that touching on some of the things you've said about using all the positives.
Yep.
I think sometimes coming back to these Hulk ideas and all these other crazy things.
Yeah.
You got to sometimes look at yourself and say, there is a reason why I am stronger than a lot of other people.
Yep.
And it's really, I have now got to help other people.
Yep.
I mean, there's quite a few people who come and train at the shed.
Yep.
They're a bit hit and miss, and some of them have got issues, and they've got other commitments. But I never, ever charge anyone to come and train.
Yep.
It's like open all hours. I'll even change what time I'm training for them to come and train.
It's awesome.
You know, because you've got to kind of, I think if you feel you're a bit mentally and physically stronger, then you've got to use it to a positive to drag people up, haven't you, and say, you know, are you training tomorrow? Are you training tomorrow? I'm trying to get him in here. I'm training anyway.
Yep. But
what I'm saying is, come on, because they always leave a training session in a much better frame of mind.
Without a doubt.
They'll send me a message later on that night or in the morning. They'll be like, oh, my forearms are burning. They feel great.
Yep.
So you think, yeah, it's working, you know.
Yeah.
We have a duty, really, to... and I think if you've got the mental and physical capacity to handle it, then it's just part of, you know, you've got to accept that some people can spread themselves a bit thinner and just get on with it and drag people along.
Yeah, I agree. And you know what? There's very few people I know that haven't come here, and we've lost some, that once you get your hands on something like this, it's like it just drives you in a way you never have mentally, physically, or spiritually. And by that I mean is, how many people have I had here where they say, well, I don't know, sandbag? Well, the next thing you know, they're loving the sandbags, and the next thing you know, that when they said, well, I'm never going to touch a stone, well, the next thing I know, they got a 60-pound stone in their hand, and they're walking it. So, you know what it is, Mark? I'll tell you right now. This is my feeling. We have never gotten this stuff out publicly the way it's starting to work now. And I think, you know, you see all this stuff, oh, the 60-day whatever method, you know, and they pay a ton of money for it and they fall flat on their chin. I'll tell everybody out there, and I can prove it to anyone. I'll take any challenge on. I can take a sandbag of multiple weights with three movements, and that's going to be the etched in stone for men to start, and I can turn you into a beast. But the other thing is, you got to want to be a beast. I can only do so much, but I can prove to you, without even getting to the barbells or the big stones, that you can take a sandbag and change your life forever. And I don't know many things out there that can do that, because not only is it financially cheap to build them, you get outside. And that's the problem with people. They're too afraid to go out in the cold weather or the snow or whatever. I'm telling you right now, you will eat the stuff up once you get going with this. And that's the way it is. Anything else, my friend?
No, I think we've covered everything. But like you said, we could talk for hours, couldn't we? About
absolutely.
This, you know, there's so much. Yep. And every conversation opens another door to another element.
Yep.
To it,
yep. You know? Well, I'm looking forward to getting over there and meeting all you guys, and we sit down somewhere in a pub or whatever. And I guarantee you, we could sit there all night and talk. That's how it is. And when you're passionate and you love what to do, it's not like work. It's not like anything. It's just spreading the good stuff, helping one another out, and that's what strength is all about. So, Mark, I want to thank you for being on the show. Obviously, we'll be in contact, and we'll get you on next year, my friend.
Excellent. Super.
You're welcome. So, for Mark, you're welcome. No problem.
Yeah, I'm just saying thanks again, Eric, for having me on. It's been great.
Anytime, Mark. I thoroughly enjoyed it. So, from Mark Haydock, this is Eric Fiorello. This show will either be up tonight or tomorrow, and we'll do more stuff. And I already told Mark, put anything you want on Etched in Stone, because we want this stuff out there, whether they're articles, video. All of you gentlemen and ladies are invited to do that, and obviously the Etched in Stone for Kids page is out there, because they're all coming up behind us, and we want a strong group of men and women. So have a great weekend, everybody. We will talk to you soon. And remember, life is asking you to do something. It's up to you to do it. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.